You know, it is a truly fascinating thing to watch. An incredibly smart, capable person try to push a piece of string across a table.
Oh, yeah, it never works.
No, it just bunches up in the middle. I mean, they push, they try harder, maybe apply a little more force, and it just tangles into a knot.
It's totally futile.
Completely exhausting. But, well, if you take that exact same string and pull it from the front,
It just follows you.
exactly, in a perfectly straight line, completely effortlessly. And today, we are taking a really hard look at a concept that will honestly completely rewire how you spend your daily energy.
Absolutely.
We are pulling this discussion entirely from chapter 13 of the book Laws of Life, Book One, Ditch the System, Design Your Life by Jack Spirko. And I want to welcome you, the listener, to this deep dive.
It's a great chapter to dig into.
It really is. And the reason I bring up that string analogy right out of the gate is because, well, in my daily work as an executive coach, I help people separate real action from useless distraction, right? To build personal agency. And I see people doing the psychological equivalent of pushing that string every single day.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, I have clients who will literally sit in my office and spend 45 minutes agonizing over, industry news or office gossip.
Just burning energy.
Right, while completely neglecting their own daily habits.
And, I see the exact same behavioral trap from completely the opposite angle. Because in my work mentoring small businesses and organizing local community projects, you quickly learn something vital.
Which
You do
is
not build a strong local economy or a resilient neighborhood by yelling at the wind or, arguing about national politics online.
right. It does nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Social capital, trust, local reputation, all that is built from the ground up by focusing intensely on the things you can actually touch.
Which leads us perfectly into the mission of today's deep dive. We are going to map out exactly how to stop wasting that energy and start actively designing your life using Spirko's 13th law of life.
Yes, and that law is
Yeah.
live life primarily in your circles of control and influence. Everything else is only for awareness.
Okay, let's unpack this because I know a lot of our listeners are already familiar with the classic Stephen Covey model, right? From the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Right, a classic.
Covey had the two circles, the inner circle of influence and the outer circle of concern. But well, Spirko actually discovered this as a young, career-obsessed guy reading Covey in a bookstore, and he realized over time that it needed an
To
evolution.
be practically useful, yeah.
Exactly. So Covey's original two circles evolved into Spirko's three.
Which is such a vital distinction because it isolates where your personal agency actually lives.
Yep.
So Spirko puts this tight boundary around the absolute center, which is the circle of control.
Right, the core.
And these are the things that are 100% yours. I mean, what you eat, your schedule, the information sources you consume.
Basically, where you actually get shit done.
Precisely. It is the only space where you possess absolute autonomy.
And then radiating out from that, he places the circle of influence. Now, these are things you can affect, but you don't fully control them.
Right, like other people.
Exactly. You can't force someone to value your opinion, but your actions influence them.
And then we get to the massive outer ring, which Spirko fundamentally rebrands in a really smart way.
Yeah, he doesn't just call it the circle of concern.
No, he defines it as the circle of awareness. So these are things you might care deeply about, but you have absolute zero operational impact on them.
Which brings us right back to the string pushing, right? Because Spirko points out that society as a whole is functionally trapped in this outer wasteland of
Oh,
concern.
completely.
I mean, he gives these very pointed examples. Instead of going for a jog to improve their own health, which is control, people sit on the couch obsessing over a Kardashian's backside.
Right. Or, they argue over which football team is going to win the Super Bowl.
Or agonizing over politicians in DC. And, trying to change those things is literally pushing a string.
Well, what's fascinating here is how he frames the illusion of judgment. Like, why do we waste time on things we can't control? He talks about his beat-up 2005 Ford F-350 truck.
Oh, I love this story.
Right, he uses it to haul compost. It's rough. And he explicitly notes he could afford a Corvette if he wanted one. But he refuses to care if strangers judge his truck, or his clothes, or his face.
But wait, I have to play devil's advocate here because as an executive coach, I see this. Human beings are social creatures. We use status symbols, like if a CEO rolls up to a board meeting in a compost-covered 2005 Ford, they lose credibility.
Sure, sure.
So is it really practical to just pretend no one is judging you?
Well, see, he makes a critical distinction there. Mm-hmm. He isn't saying ignore the people who actually matter to your goals, like your board of directors. Those people are in your circle of influence.
Okay, that makes sense.
What he's attacking is worrying about what strangers think. Like, people walk into a restaurant convinced everyone is staring at them. But Spurko reminds us that those strangers couldn't pick you out of a lineup the next day for a $1 million prize.
That is so true. We just aren't that important to strangers.
Exactly. Stop trying to control someone else's mind. It's a waste of energy.
Right. And that pivots us to how that outer circle should actually be used. It's for strategic awareness, not obsession.
Yeah. You don't control the weather, right? You don't control tornadoes.
You prepare for them.
Right. You don't control the stock market, but you control your investments. It's about preparation.
And he uses this really wild example about the tax code to illustrate this.
Oh, this is a great one.
Because, you know, people waste so much energy in that circle of concern yelling that the rich aren't paying their fair share. Now, Spurko's perspective here, and we're just reporting what's in the text, is that corporations basically write the laws.
Right. They hand them to the lobbyists who hand them to Congress.
Exactly. So he points out that the top tax rate fluctuates, but the effective rate stays the same.
Because of the loopholes.
Yes. About 10% of the code is actual rules and 90% is loopholes to legally get out of them.
And people waste all their energy complaining about the 10%.
When they should be using it as pure awareness to focus on the 90% they can actually use for their own businesses.
It's brilliant. Just observe and adapt.
Okay. Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because acting strictly in your circle of control builds this undeniable authenticity.
It really does.
Let me tell the Liberty Forum story from the chapter. So, Spurko is asked to give a keynote at the Liberty Forum in New Hampshire.
A very formal event.
Highly formal. Packed with congressmen, thought leaders, everyone in suits. And Spurko agrees to do it on one condition.
Let me guess. No suit.
He insists on wearing a t-shirt and jeans.
That's bold.
Right. He walks up to the stage, looking at a crowd of suits, and his opening line is something like, "You don't work your ass off to build total freedom in your life, only to turn around and live the way someone else expects you to."
Wow. And that just instantly establishes his agency.
The crowd loved it.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't playing a status game in the circle of concern. He was 100% in his circle of control.
Which naturally shifts your own internal dialogue, too. When you focus on control, you change your mental programming.
How so?
Well, instead of saying, I can't afford it, which puts all the power outside of you.
Right, makes you a victim.
Yeah, you just ask, how can I afford this?
Oh, that is so good. It forces your brain to solve the problem in the control circle.
Exactly. You look at your budget, which you control. And if you want to start a business, it's the same thing.
You focus on the business plan, not the news.
Right. Spurko makes this great point that the next president could be a Democrat, a Republican, or a freaking space alien. And successful businesses will still be built.
Because they focus strictly on their controllable actions.
Exactly. A budget, a niche, that's control.
Okay, so we've got control locked down. But how does that grow into influence? Because Spurko says competence breeds influence, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He uses the story of Tom, the personal trainer.
Right, the guy with the donut.
Yes. Uh-huh. Imagine you go to a gym and Tom walks over. He's fat, out of breath, and literally eating a donut while offering to help you get fit.
I am walking right back out the door.
Of course you are. But compare that to a fit, strong, 60-year-old trainer. You trust the second guy instantly.
Because he has demonstrated competence in his own circle of control.
Exactly. People only follow demonstrated competence.
Yet if we connect this to the bigger picture, you know, your background, this is exactly how local social capital is built.
Oh, 100%. And there's a fantastic story in the book about a guy named Buddy Shoemaker.
From the coal town.
Yeah, a 1980s Pennsylvania coal town. Buddy was this totally unassuming guy, lived in a $25,000 house.
Very modest.
Extremely modest. But he had massive social capital. Unbelievable local influence.
And how did he build that?
By making amazing country wine. Apple, dandelion, wild blueberry. He used other people's fruit, processed it, and kept a portion as his fee.
That is just incredible networking, being useful.
Right, but it's the detail that matters. Spurko talks about this one moment where Buddy gifted Spurko's grandfather an 8-year-old bottle of wine.
Wow, 8 years.
Yeah, from the grandfather's own 60-year-old vines. Buddy knew it was perfectly aged to its peak. and he saved it for him.
Think about the loyalty that generates.
Unbelievable loyalty. But he gained ultimate local influence simply by mastering his craft, being useful, and acting in his circle of control.
It's beautiful. And when you look at it that way, it actually connects back to all of Spurko's other laws.
It really is the Keystone Law, isn't it?
Definitely. Like, law one, be on time. Well, you control your schedule, and doing that builds respect and social capital.
And law four, never take advice from the incompetent.
Right, because you control who you listen to, which protects your influence from bad information.
And law six, what you do matters, because action is 100% inside your control.
So what does this all mean for the listener right now? Spurko breaks this down into the CIA framework.
CIA, yeah. Control, influence, awareness.
Exactly. So let's run through it. C is for control. This is where you start. It is 100% yours.
Your schedule, your diet, your actions.
It is where you get shit done. Then I is for influence. These are things you affect but don't control.
Right. Where you guide, you don't force.
Exactly. It's where leverage is applied. And finally, A is for awareness. Everything else.
The macro stuff, right?
You observe and learn, but you do not engage emotionally.
So just to do a rapid-fire review of these distilled points from the chapter, because they are so critical.
Go for it.
Life only moves forward in your control circle. Outside effort produces nothing.
Well,
zero.
You're pushing the string.
Exactly. Social capital is earned by action, not opinion. People follow competence. And, you know, what you focus on expands.
Which is why you have to focus on what you control.
Right. Confidence comes from alignment with your own actions. A small number of focused actions will always outperform endless concern.
That is perfectly distilled. And for you listening, there are so many more resources to dive into these concepts over at jackslaws.com.
Highly recommend checking it out. But, you know, this raises an important question for you, the listener, to mull over.
Oh, I like where this is going.
I want you to mentally audit the last 24 hours of your life.
Else the last day.
Yeah. How much of your quote-unquote hard work was actually just the exhausting, fruitless effort of trying to push a string in the circle of concern.
Ouch. That is a tough audit for a lot of people.
It is. And if you succeed in pulling all that energy back to your control and influence, treating the rest of the world's problems as just awareness, do you risk losing your empathy?
Oh, wow.
Right. If you stop agonizing over the massive, uncontrollable struggles of the world, do you become vastly more effective locally, or do you just become isolated?
That is a deep tension to navigate.
It's something to really think about.
It is. And to help you start navigating that today, I want to close by sharing the exact three lines of mental code from the very end of the chapter.
Yes, the programming.
Exactly. You need to program this into your mind. I'm going to read them exactly as written.
Let's hear them.
First line, computer, in taking meaningful actions within my circle of control, I am expanding my circle of influence. Find me something meaningful to do today.
So powerful.
Second line, computer, sort everything I encounter into control, influence, or awareness, and act accordingly.
This is constantly filtering.
And the final line, computer, refuse to waste time on things I cannot change and return focused what I can do.
That is the ultimate formula for agency.
It truly is. And as a reminder, you can find the rest of the laws and more deep dives at jackslaws.com. So thank you so much for joining us. Focus on your circle of control and stop pushing the string.
Absolutely. See you next time.